Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. All right, we're continuing our program today. Breaking news, and this is the New York Times, so it has to be true. Actually, it appears to be true, shockingly enough. International panel of geologists rejects notion of significant climate change. Quote, stunning rebuke of the proposed geologic time division reflecting human influence, unquote. This is on the pages. Are we in the Anthropocene, the human age? Nope, says scientists say. This is pretty significant. The New York Times covering this. This has been bandied about for decades now, at least 15 years. The idea that there's geologic eras of the Earth and that this one has to be called the Anthropocene because of anthropogenic, human-caused, man-caused. We've altered our climate and the Earth so much that it's now the age of human domination or human influence of the planet. It's been pushed by, I believe, Andrew Revkin, former New York Times reporter, Bill McKibben, people like Al Gore. And so they brought this to scientists. A panel of experts voted down a proposal, this is according to New York Times, to officially declare the start of a new interval of geologic time. They got so silly with this rhetoric that when Senator Manchin, West Virginia, the Democrat, voted against the Inflation Reduction Act the first couple times, he eventually reversed his vote and voted for it. But climate activists like Bill McKibben, who was a friend of Al Gore's, literally said that we should rename a geologic era of the Earth after Joe Manchin, the Manchocene. Because one senator's vote against a pork barrel spending, and it was pork barrel $300 billion. Now the Biden administration is going to unauthorize spend $1.2 trillion just on wind and solar subsidies and EV and just messing up the economy and blowing taxpayer money to produce no energy, pick winners and losers. It's just a disaster. But that was going to create a new era, a geologic era in the Earth's history. That's how silly it is. So again, they brought this to the geologists. A panel of experts voted down a proposal to officially declare one defined by humanity's impact on the planet. And then we go here. Science Magazine has confirmed that a panel of 24 geologists have voted down a proposal to end the Holocene. That's what we're currently in. Our current span of geologic time, which began 11,700 years ago. By the way, that's when I always say sea level's been rising for the past, 10,000 plus years. Well, it has. Natural rebound from ice ages. This is considered a climate, much better climate. And of course, people turn that into, we've done it. This stuff happens naturally. Starting in the 1950s, it would have marked a time when humanity's influence on the planet became overwhelming. And then they go on and it explains the geoscientists within that were concerned, had environmental concerns about plastics and other things, but they did this rejected the notion that human dominance, because remember, the Earth is massive, large. I think it was George Carlin who did a great thing about, we're just specks on the Earth and the Earth will forget about us as soon as humanity has passed on and et cetera. But the idea that we are dominating, controlling enough, with climate especially, and geologic era of the Earth's history is absurd. And now, according to the New York Times, scientists agree with us. Along the same token, New York reparations panel members blame whites for climate change. Not making this up. White folks messed up the weather. Black folks saved the planet. Film at 11. This is according to the New York Post, by article by Carl Campanelli. Two representatives appointed to a committee considering paying reparations claimed white people were responsible for climate change. Ron Daniels and Lurie Daniels Favors both appeared at the New York Commission on Reparations and Racial Justice. They made several fiery statements, including the ones I just mentioned. White folks messed up the weather. Black folks saved the planet. These are longtime activists. So this has been going on. Remember, I told you about the study about human breath in December. In a peer-reviewed journal, Africans have more warming agents in their breath than Asians, and women have more warming agents in their breath than men. So, and then of course we've had African activists blaming typhoons for damaging part of Africa on essentially, the white colonialism, and the idea is white people have created the Industrial Revolution, which then caused bad weather, which is then disproportionately harming people of color. It just goes on and on, the identity politics of this whole movement. We have NASA scientists saying climate change is caused by white supremacy. You have a University of Rhode Island professor saying he doesn't trust the data because the data is racist. This is the world upon which we live. So it's so refreshing. This is the UFC Ultimate Fighting. Dana White, the founder, head of that, being asked a question by an LGBTQ, reporter at a press conference about, I guess, transphobia and how a lot of these UFC fighters tend to be conservative, tend to support Donald Trump. But here's how he handled it. This is the founder of UFC, Dana White, destroying a reporter. I just wish Republicans would be taking notes and memos at this. Clip one.
You obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash? Free speech. Control what people say? Going to tell people what to believe? Going to tell people... I don't fucking tell any other human being what to say, what to think, and there's no leashes on any of them. What is your question?
I was asking that question. I'll move on, though.
Yeah, probably a good idea. That's ridiculous to say I give somebody a leash. Free speech, brother. People can say whatever they want, and they can believe whatever they want.
That used to be a mainstream view in America. People can say whatever they want and believe whatever they want. No more. Now it's misinformation, disinformation. If you say anything that the state doesn't approve of or the ruling class, you will be deplatformed, debanked, canceled, defunded. And there's laws in Canada currently where they're talking about, jailing doctors who don't go along with the public health sentiments. There's, of course, they tried to do the same thing in California. I believe they actually passed legislation and it was overturned by court order. This is frightening. And what I don't understand, and the thing is, the ruling class is the most susceptible to these kind of, this ideology, this toxic ideology. They are the ones who absorb. They've been trained since very little. We had Dennis Rancourt on the show. He called them obedient intellectuals. That's what colleges train. And we're talking about the brightest, best brightest. We're talking about the doctors, the lawyers, the scientists, the physicians. That come to these schools, they're taught to defer to credentialed experts. They're taught to be part of the system and master huge student debt loans. And you're not going to go against the system because you want a job to pay back your massive student debt loans. And you're going to go along with the narrative. And that narrative just becomes silly and nuts today. And today, of course, the narrative is free speech is bad and you have to stop misinformation and you got to shut people down and you got to penalize and punish them and deplatform them. Okay, Dana White, just so you know, UFC owner, he was a hero before I even knew who he was. I just heard that UFC during the COVID, early in the COVID lockdowns, 2 or 3 months after, this would have been like early summer 2020, was saying, we're not going to stay locked down. They started looking for venues. They had events, and they, of course, were demonized and attacked. This is clip two on how Dana White, the UFC Ultimate Fighting founder, on how he refused to let COVID stop the mixed martial art fighting.
When people tune into sports, it's an escape for them. And especially during that time, every single channel on TV, all you heard about was COVID and riots and this and that. When you tune into a sporting event, you want it to be taken away from all that. And I think that's where a lot of these leagues are really missing.
And again, imagine, contrast that with the NFL, who still have end racism in their end zones. May the Washington Redskins change their name to the Washington Commanders, even though the Redskins logo was done by Native Americans and won awards and they were so proud of it. Are you even allowed to say Washington Redskins anymore? I mean, I wonder if they're going to go back in the archive and digitize the jerseys and the helmet and get rid of anything Native American related. It's just so refreshing to have that. Well, Riley Gaines, again, remember, the first question was from the LGBTQ reporter talking about the leash that they have on. Well, Riley Gaines is unleashed. And so is this show. I think this show is called Unleashed. Riley Gaines, the swimmer who tied with the biological male and they refused to give her the trophy and they gave it to him because it was the virtue signaling and they were told from above. The people on the ground at the ceremony told Riley Gaines, well, she'll explain that they had to give the trophy to the biological male because that's what the higher-ups wanted. They wanted to be wrap themselves in that mantle. This is Riley Gaines talking about Leah Thomas and what happened to her. It's the clip, clip three.
What do you mean you're going to give the trophy to the man in the women's 200 freestyle? I asked the question that no one dared ask all season. And I said, why? Which, of course, he didn't have an answer as to why. They didn't give him a script of what to say when someone asks you the dreaded question of why. And so his first excuse he came up with, he's stumbling on his words and he's, we're actually just doing this in chronological order, he said. And so I said, okay, do you mean alphabetical? Because G comes before T. Otherwise, I literally have no idea what you're being chronological about. Right? We tied. So again, what's your rationale here? And finally, he realized that he didn't have a justification. He didn't have an answer for this. And so, and I actually appreciate his honesty. This is when his face changed. He looked sad. His voice changed. I could tell he didn't even believe what he was about to say. But this official looked at me and said, Riley, I am so sorry. But we have been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that the trophy is in Leah's hands. Again, you can pose with this one, but you have to give yours back. Leah takes the trophy home. You go home empty-handed. End of story. We can eventually mail you one.
That's today's world. A female athlete, top form. Biological male says he's now female. He gets to come in. He doesn't even beat her. They tie. He still gets the trophy. He gets all the photos. He gets to stand on the platform. And no reasons given except it's just what the higher ups, so we have to do it. You know, we have to support the agenda. The agenda is more important than anything about who actually won or tied. I mean, incredible. I'm hoping the tide's turning on this. I'm hoping. All right. Well, this is the fun story. I would love to, you know, I've never witnessed this in person with these nuts. I have to think about it, but this is clip four. Climate emergency performers disrupt a star-studded performance of an enemy of the people. I believe this is New York City. And this is just fun to watch because these people is diluted. Just remember, as you're watching this clip four, as diluted and silly and brainwashed as they are, this is what the ruling class governing elite want. This is what the Hollywood director who gave millions, who did the movie How High It's Up, I believe, or whatever it's called, How High Up. The children's film, he gave millions of dollars to these causes. This is what the Getty family, the Rockefellers, the billionaire foundations, this is the message that the ruling class wants these people to deliver. So they're not lone nuts out there acting on their own. They're doing it at the behest and service to billionaires. Clip four.
If there are no further objections,
I object.
Dr. Stone.
I object to the silencing of scientists. I am very, very sorry to interrupt your night and this amazing performance. I am a theater artist. I work in this theater professionally. And
I'm sorry, you need to leave.
You're throwing my career under the bus.
Get him out.
And you're not recognized.
Let's go.
Usher,
we got somebody.
Where's the house manager?
They do not have the floor.
The oceans are acidifying.
The
oceans are rising. It will swallow this city and this entire theater hall. I am putting my career on the line because we are not doing anything about this crisis. The water is coming for us. Broadway will not survive on a dead planet. There is no Broadway on a dead planet. There is no.
I must confess, I do get a certain humor, pleasure out of watching, because Broadway is as woke and as full of crap as you can possibly imagine. They had mask mandates as long as possible. They had vaccine mandates. They were rude. They ejected people. They were the heart of the liberalist. They deserve this, is what I'm trying to say. They deserve to have their plays disrupted by the little peons that are brainwashed by the people who pull the strings on Broadway and corporate media and academia. So I shed no tears for the actors in those plays, unless I have that wrong about who these people are. But I just do get a chuckle when they do it, when they eat their own, when the billionaire class pays these lunatics to go out and just spew nonsense. Broadway won't survive underwater. It won't survive on an inhabitable planet. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, just go home and, and prepare for end times. I mean, I don't know, your climatic catastrophe. So anyway, that was fun. Now for a dose of scientific reality, this is Princeton professor, Dr. Will Happer. He's on Sky News explaining how the Earth is actually in a CO2 famine. Geologically speaking, we are at the lowest level. So Broadway being underwater ain't going to happen anytime soon. Clip 5.
More CO2 is good for the world. It's not bad for the world. And so it's absurd to be trying to reduce CO2. We're in a CO2 famine now compared to what is normal for plants. And just about any plant, if you give it more CO2, and a lot more, it will do better. If you look from satellites, Australia is a poster boy of greening of the entire world, especially Western Australia. So it's unbelievable that they've managed to turn this beneficial gas, a part of life, into a threat.
Wow. Well said. Again, Will Happer, one of the premier scientists of our age, considered the foremost expert on greenhouse gases in the world. When we had him come testify at the United States Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, I was told by mainstream media reporters that they couldn't find people to attack him because of his credentials. And he was considered, again, one of the foremost experts on the greenhouse gas theory and in atmospheric physics. So he's telling us we're in a CO2 famine. 90%+ of the Earth's history has had higher CO2 and has been warmer than present. We're in the 10% coldest, geologically speaking. Okay, last clip. There's someone in this new documentary about global elites trying to get the world to believe in a climate emergency, and they're manipulating science. Who could this be? Let's play clip 6 and find out.
These are people who have a vision of a world, and it's a utopian vision of this world where everything's going to be ordered, everyone gets their fair share, to each according to his own. And the idea is anything short of that has to be micromanaged and corrected. So in order to achieve that goal, they've come up with crisis after crisis after crisis. That's what's scary about it. It's a central planned vision of the world that you could never even achieve in previous generations, but you could achieve it now in the digital age. They actually believe if we're allowed to live our lives unrestrained, if we're allowed to do what we were, what have been doing in America with freedom and freedom of movement and prosperity and middle class values, that we will destroy the earth, we'll create a climate crisis, environmental degradation, white supremacy, essentially cause a huge race war, everything. They think we will literally are unable to take care of ourselves. So therefore, they have to come in, manage, plan, and manage every aspect of our lives, masterminding from above, like we're puppets. And it's not like, oh, that's going to happen. That's been happening at an accelerated pace.
That was, I guess that was me. That was me. They didn't tell me I was going to be on. Wait a minute. I'm in that documentary. Yeah. That is Epic TV. I recommend you watch it. They did it. It sat down with me for about an hour in Washington, D.C. at my D.C. office. And we go through the whole green agenda, the whole net zero agenda, the sustainable development agenda, particularly the war on agriculture and food supply. My hat to Epic TV. Epic Times, perhaps one of the greatest newspaper publications out there today. They really are. I mean, you see what they produce. They have a weekly newspaper. It is some of the best hard news content that you haven't seen in newspapers in decades. All right. So we will let you know, more about that. I'll probably have some more clips on that because they do a really good job making those documentaries. All right. When we come back, Mel, the host of the Mel Kay Show, will be joining us. She's a devoted lover of truth and facts, God and America. And you're going to really enjoy her. I first became aware of her on the Jimmy Dore Show, and she was speaking truth bombs on Jimmy Dore, who's one of my favorite commentators as well. So Mel Kay will join us, and you don't want to miss it. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We'll be right back.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his rival, his final rival, the former United Nations ambassador, Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTRadio.live.
Welcome back to Unleashed on TNT. All right, well, joining us now on the program is Mel of the Mel Kay Show. Mel Kay, devoted lover of truth, facts, history, God. She graduated with honors from NYU, spent 20 years film media. And the Mel Kay Show now is to inform the public about what's happening to our world today. Welcome to the program, Mel.
Thank you for having me, sir. Happy to be here.
All right. Yeah, I first saw some of your work on Jimmy Dore's show and was very impressed.
Oh, great.
So tell us what your history is. You graduated with honors from NYU. It sounds like you came into society and the workforce as one of the anointed members of the sort of the ruling class, governing class, I should say. I don't know. You were part of the mainstream. Is that true, or were you a rebel back then?
No, I was always kind of doing my own thing. Really, first I went to school for journalism, then I went back for film, and I kind of put them both together. And my specialty for 22 years in LA and elsewhere was writing historical drama, so screenplays based on real history, which led me down a path of realizing after writing, you know, screenplays about Eichmann in Jerusalem and about World War One and about Mao's China and Vietnam and then, the south of France in the 20s, you realize that the same people are involved again and again and again, writing about Jekyll Island. Everything that I wrote about, I would think, wait a minute, there is what I call them, the parent company of Planet Earth that is running everything. And all of us think that we're all kind of doing our own things, but really they've also captured and have, satellite offices above all of our governments. And at this point, I just realized as COVID rolled in, I had a lot of things that I saw as red flags. I studied 1930s and 1940s Germany really, really in depth for one of my projects. And also Mao's China for a different project. And I just saw what I believe to be a operation to consolidate the world into the long game that was always the League of Nations turned into the UN, which was a global governing class of billionaire oligarchs that frankly believe that they are superior to the rest of us, 7 billion plus people. And I decided to just start pointing out how history is repeating itself in so many ways, and it does not stop.
Impressive. So you use that educational background plus your job basically as a historical researcher for documentaries. Where would you have been 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Did you have these same views, or they didn't really crystallize until 2020 with COVID, great reset, lockdowns?
Yeah, no, I had the same views. I was in there was a group in Hollywood when I was there. I went there very, very young. I worked on many different levels, many TV shows, raising money for films, independent film. And about mid-2000s is when the cultural shift really happened. It was very covert when I got there in the 90s, but by the mid-2000s, Hollywood had seemed to be totally usurped, from what I could tell, where talent took a back seat to propaganda and to the people that would spread that propaganda. And I saw a lot of things there. And around that time was also my parents were in Palm Beach during the first, they lived there after I left for college. So during the first Epstein trial, because I'm a writer, so I'd go home to work on projects and go back to LA to sell them, and hopefully they'd sell, and then you'd be sucked. You know, it was like a weird life. But I was very aware of the first Epstein trial. I knew a couple of the girls that were caught up in it from Royal Palm High School. And so I kept an eye on that, too. So that also came back into play. And when I was in L.A., I saw a lot of things, like I said, in the mid-2000s happening that seemed like a very covert kind of, I hate to say satanic, because people go the wrong way with that, or you know, just a culture was starting to rear its head that had been there all along, but now was very, very in your face. And it was starting with like this LGBTQ plus and the CRT and all this stuff that you see now, BLM, that was already percolating there by 2003, 2004, where, you know, people were being selected to be in positions or to get jobs or whatever for reasons other than, you know, creativity and talent and earning it. And then I saw a lot of stuff about sexualization of children and many people I know that got caught up in bad situations in Hollywood. And once I started talking about it, it kind of took off on its own path. And in 2014, I went back to Manhattan, where I had come from, and I found that Manhattan was also swallowed up by this cultural shift and communist government tactics and all of this. So I started the show. A little bit right when COVID hit, but I had been doing other podcasts and shows just kind of about hidden history and how much of what was happening was a cultural revolution to undermine the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And kind of, like I say, a lot of people, you know, hear Trump say they're not after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. I've been saying all along, they're not after America, they're after the world, and America's in the way.
Yeah, in fact, that's always been, you know, just in talking to people throughout history, they've always said when America is the last sort of the last thing standing in the way to what they've wanted to achieve. And that's true, whether it's even on the globalist stage with climate, or whether you're talking the pandemic treaty, although not the case now, the pandemic treaty, the Biden administration is actually proposing things more extreme than even the World Health Organization wants. They're all in for getting us, but we'll get to those things later. But were you blacklisted for any of your views, or did you keep them in a way where you were under the radar for most of the time until recently?
Well, the good thing is, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a group, a kind of secret underground group that I was, very early on, I worked on a show called The West Wing, and there was a group of people there. I was also involved in the recovery community in LA too. So there were people that were conservative, maybe not full on Republicans, but kind of, you know, people know the big ones like Kelsey Grammer and Gary Sinise and Kevin Sorbo. Like, there were those people. And so there were people that were in that world, but you would never talk about it ever on a set. And the crazy part in LA, in Hollywood, at least in my experience, was that everyone just assumes everyone agrees with what they're saying. And it does come from the top down. And there was a lot of infiltration, not just from, and I saw Peter Schweitzer starting to talk about it, not just from, you know, obvious communism and people that believe that they are elite and should be deciding for the rest of the country what matters. But there was a lot of CCP money coming into LA. A lot of friends I had, they would start going into deals to make movies. And next thing you know, there's a Chinese communist presence there. So, you know, for me, it was never, I did something very specific. So I kind of never dealt with the fray, and I was invited into smaller circles, and I was trusted by people, thank God. So I really never dealt with any backlash, but now I do. The minute I said that I was going, that I was supporting Donald Trump in 2016, you know, half of my Hollywood friends, people I went to school with and had worked in the trenches with and worked for months and months on movies with, you know, either sent me messages or unfriended me or whatever. And what's crazy is a lot of those people, too, have come back around in the last few months being like, hey, are you Mel Kay? And I'd be like, yeah. They'd be like, oh, my God. And then they start asking me stuff where 2 years ago, these people would have pretended that they didn't even know who I was. So that's good news.
Yeah. Now, well, when you came out like that, can you still get a job in Hollywood doing some of the old things you were doing? Or do you think you'd be blacklisted now that you've come out publicly?
I don't think that. Yeah. But the good news is that I believe that a lot of the model died during COVID. And then with these strikes there, I'm in two unions, both went on strike, kind of bouncing off of COVID. And a lot of the Chinese money was pulled out of Hollywood in the last 3-4 years as well. So the Hollywood model has to fix itself. I believe Hollywood's on fire right now. Good people that are great filmmakers can't get deals. Crappy filmmakers are making deals and movies never get made. There's a lot of chaos. A lot of agencies have collapsed. So now there's a monopoly there with that too. And, you know, a lot of the big wigs have even been talking about, from Scorsese to Barry Diller to all these people, that, you know, this whole streaming model has really hurt the quality of content. And so, you know, I believe that there will be another side. I'm still working on things I did before, and they will bounce back. But the entire Hollywood got their unintended great reset, I think, on the other side. Yeah. So I think we're going to see a very decentralized future when it comes to film, TV and music. And there's a lot of great people out there that left, wanted nothing to do with it for multiple reasons, not just the woke stuff, and are starting studios in Nashville and Austin and in New Mexico. So I think it's great, because when I was coming up, when I started very young, you had to go to Hollywood or New York City. I was there, but and there wasn't other options. And now there are a lot. I believe there's going to be a big influx of independent projects that are outside the model, because the truth about Hollywood, especially, is that it's about distribution, not about content. A lot of independent films are made. A lot of films get made, and TV shows that never see the light of day, more than that do. And that's usually the factor, is the control mechanism that controls distribution. So I know there's a lot of people working on that too. So there's a lot of new models. And I plan to, as soon as I can, as soon as we save America, I plan to go pull out some projects and do them again. But for now, I'll keep doing this every day.
Okay. Well, am I wrong to be impressed by someone like Tim Robbins, who was all for COVID lockdowns, thought they were a bunch of nuts out there who wouldn't wear masks and go along with social distancing? But then he started attending the rallies and he was impressed and was convinced and actually formally apologized to all those he denigrated. And even Susan Sarandon, I don't know if he's still married to her, his wife or ex-wife, she's been showing San Francisco and all the homeless and drugs and basically saying, this is crazy. And then you have someone like Fran Drescher, who was the head of the union. You mentioned the unions. She seemed very strong against the COVID vaccine mandates in the industry. Are there signs of hopes from what I would consider like the mainstream of Hollywood with those three figures I just mentioned?
Yeah, I think here's what I think is going on. And it's not just Hollywood. It's everywhere. People are starting to realize that the centralized power controllers are no longer, you know, that they're just not for us. They're not really for creativity or freedom or all of this stuff. So I think in many different industries, there is a boomerang effect going into play, where people are realizing that maybe their neighbors and their friends or people that are in the illusion of one party or another really aren't their enemies. And basically, we all want the same thing: freedom, liberty, the ability to dictate how we want to live our lives. We don't want thought police or speech police or body police or any of that. And I think that it's more about people coming together in a realizing that the powers that be and the controls and what I call the parent companies running our country, the public-private partnership, it doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve our families, our future, our communities, our country, nor the world. So it just seems like whether it's one thing or another, a lot more people are finding common ground in the things that really matter, instead of the hot button issues we may never agree on, that at the end of the day, you know, should be personal. And what's public, I think we can all agree on, which is freedom and liberty.
Yeah, like America used to be. I love the moment when Woody Harrelson on Saturday Night Live did the compared big pharmaceuticals to the drug cartels. Was there a lot of blowback on that? And did he get canceled for his comments there? Or is he Woody Harrelson? They can't cancel him.
Well, you know what? I think it's an individual thing about being canceled. Some of the people you think have the most power are the most controlled. There is somebody like him is not controlled at all. I don't think Tim Robbins or Susan Sarandon or Julia Roberts. These people are post-controlled. A lot of these people also exited the agency model. You know, there is a model there. The big agencies, they've gotten them down to probably five that actually get anyone any work. And the truth of the matter is that they are stockbrokers for human lives. And, you know, if you're smart and you're talented and you work hard, you should have opportunity. And there's just some people that at this point, they care more about humanity and freedom and the future than they do about being popular. I mean, look at the Oscars. You barely knew any of those stars that showed up. I didn't even know it was happening. And I went for 12 years of my life and it was like a big deal. Golden Globes, any of these award shows. I don't even know anyone that's going. These aren't the people that I admire. I certainly am, because I know the back end, the writers, the directors, the crew, they're all kind of, you know, whatever. It's very sad what happened, but I think it's going to be rebuilt in a different way where it is led by talent and quality and content that, you know, moves the needle in a positive direction, because what's been going on is a major demoralization campaign, a propaganda campaign, and it's controlled by the public-private partnership. A lot of them involved in the World Economic Forum and the UN agencies. And I even saw Angelina Jolie the other day. He was like a UN, you know, poster child, came out and was like making in an interview and was saying, you know, I thought all these people were good people trying to do good, only to realize, you know, once you get there, you realize that this is not what it seems, and that there is I call them the international banking cartel, but there is a financial gain to keeping nations developing that never develop, to keep this con going, this globalism, United Nations con going. And I think it's just imploding. I see a lot of positive. I know people feel very dehumanized, demoralized as by design, but I also feel that there's a kind of rubber band effect that's going to be coming soon, probably in the summer, where people are going to realize, you know what, you're not my enemy. We actually have the same enemy. And that is the people that have, I believe, swallowed our government.
Yeah, I mean, what surprised me the most the last couple of years are people that the uniting of people, from Tucker Carlson to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to Naomi Wolf, who was a Clinton Gore advisor, people like Jimmy Dore, people like Russell Brand. It's amazing how they're all sort of, we're all coming together, left and right. It really isn't left, right. It's about freedom versus, you know, fascism and tyranny on one hand. Would you agree with that? Have you seen, is it sort of unprecedented, at least in modern times, for this new coalition of people joining together?
Yeah, I think it's great. And a lot of people, you know, I come from a realm where I was raised by, my mother was a Democrat, my father was a Republican. And, you know, I grew up kind of not that much into politics. And I think that honestly, I have a book coming out about America being as sick as its secrets. And I feel like if we all look back and look at the murder of JFK forward, we have not had a free country. We have not had our Constitution, our Bill of Rights front and center. We have not been by the people, for the people. And like Ben Franklin warned us, if we weren't going to stay vigilant and involved as citizens, we were going to lose our country. And I believe that we have gotten to that point, but we're at the precipice. They really, really overplayed their hand during COVID by showing that it was a global coordinated effort. And once you started seeing that, and then watching the speeches and the Build Back Better, and then for the first time, I had been talking about the World Economic Forum for multiple years before people actually started being like, who are these people? And what are they saying? And why are they saying that? They sound like lunatics. And so now it's become exposed that we have been deceived. The biggest deception in our lifetimes, I believe, is the United Nations. It's a total fraud. And all of their, I call it the octopus of global control, from my friend Charlie Robinson's book, and all of their tentacles. They have something they've planned called Agenda 2030. I believe Obama signed on to that without the full knowledge of the people of the United States. And every move that the parent company running America makes is going towards this global governance ideal that they have, that they've written about in books like Tragedy and Hope and all their other, you know, white papers over time. And I think people have had it. No, we want to keep nation states and we want to thrive and we want to invest in humanity all over the world, but we don't want it to be for profit for a very small group of people that have hijacked most of our free nations.
All right, we have to take a break. We're talking with Mel Kay, the Mel Kay Show. Tell people where they can get your show and watch it.
Okay, every single night I have a live show on Rumble, 7 days a week, two on weekends. And everywhere that you find podcasts, I was exited off of YouTube almost 3.5 years ago for calling out COVID early and reporting on Epstein too much. And I decided to never go back. So I'm not on YouTube. So please do go to Rumble and follow me. I'm on many, many other platforms that promote free speech. And I started over there on X and some other places. But the MelKayShow.com is a great place too. I have a free resource page where everything I talk about, I put my receipts there. And there's a great section there for everyone called Opposition Playbooks. And you'll realize the opposition is not left and right, Republican and Democrat. It is between freedom and totalitarian tyranny. And I'm on the front lines trying to wake people up that we all need to stand together against it.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about, as a historical researcher for all these different shows, documentaries, I'd like to ask you if this is unique in our history. In other words, is this the first time, or I'd like you to go back and talk about the parallels between the 1930s Germany, Mao's China. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on TNT. We're talking with Mel Kay, the Mel Kay Show, MelKayShow.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The truth is, Parkinson's disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them. Worldwide, over 10 million people are living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement. And with so many places to search for information, it can be difficult to know where to begin. The Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight. We can help you understand the disease, help you find expert care, give you tips for living a better life, share the latest research, help you find local support, and there's a free helpline you can call. Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's. To learn more, please go to Parkinson.org or call 1-800-4PD-INFO. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
Hi, I'm Susan Lucci. I never thought about heart disease until I had my own heart event. I had a 90% blockage in my main artery and a 75% blockage in the adjacent artery. I received 2 stents in my arteries. Stents developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Those stents saved my life. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
Examining the issues. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Unleashed on TNT. I'm Mark Morano. We're talking with Mel Kay of the Mel Kay Show, MelKayShow.com. Mel, tell me about you referenced the Germany and you mentioned Mao's China. So the question is, people might think, well, this is unique. This has never happened before, or this can't happen because we're America and that's, you know, what happened in Germany or what happened in Mao's China, it has nothing to do with us. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it's amazing to me that people still really think that, because I guess they're listening. I mean, there was this great hoax this last 24 hours with Trump saying there would be a bloodbath with Chinese electric vehicles. And everyone's like, oh, Trump's going to have a bloodbath after. I mean, it was just so Goebbels and Hitler-esque, the whole monologue today on the Mika show. So I got this book called Origins of Totalitarianism by my hero, Hannah Arendt, or the person I most align with, when I was 19 years old. It is highlighted through and through. It covers totalitarianism from not just Nazi Germany, but also the Bolshevik Revolution and Stalin. There's a whole nother. I took a whole class on this when I was 19. It really got to me. And I studied this woman for years and what she was saying. And no, nothing about it, what is happening, is new. In fact, none of the people at the very top, the financial side of this, which is really what's running everything, I call them the international banking cartel, all the way up to the Bank of International Settlements, is new. The same people that are trying to push the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, all of this stuff, the Build Back Better folks, they're just, they've been groomed into this by multiple different groups, the Rhodes Scholars or the Bilderberg Group, or there's many others, all these different conferences they have. But it really tracks back to one thing, that a globalist elitist group of people believe that they should be in charge of all natural resources on planet Earth, including us being people. And they have played the long game, and they've deceived many times. And anyone that got out of line, they went in and did regime change wars and propagandized us into supporting them. The military-industrial complex, as warned by Eisenhower, is very big in that situation. And we have to be really honest with ourselves that we have lost our freedom little by little. To me, I have been very big on wanting to start a movement across all fronts, because I go on shows. The one thing a lot of people that consider, I guess I'm considered conservative, but I honestly think both parties are full of like criminals and corruption. But the truth is that I would love to see people get together and demand the repealing of the Patriot Act, because to me, what we're dealing with, the thing that is going to and has allowed this, I call it the Fourth Reich, and I'll tell you why in a second. The reason that this has been allowed to come to this level is, A, we were lied to about the Patriot Act. It was written well before 9/11, and it was sold to us as being about terrorists. It was really about centralizing power in America and full track and trace surveillance, which is necessary for the next phase of what they want. There are papers by Kissinger and many other people that really describe a future that would look very much like the movie Hunger Games, with like Pan Am, which we can call Davos or Switzerland, whatever you want to call it, and then wards, where we would be a landmass that would have no borders, language, culture with Mexico, Canada, and America. These are in their own papers over decades, over, you know, this is a plan. Rockefeller, who's one of the architects with the crown himself, said in his own autobiography that surely a moneyed intellectual class of bankers and basically billionaires would be far superior than autodetermination as known in the past, meaning constitutional republic. So like I said, the end game is they can institute this, and the Patriot Act helped them a lot to basically they created four agencies that act as a fourth unconstitutional fourth branch of the government that are completely out of control with no oversight, no limits. They then Holder and Obama put in the DOJ, National Security Division on top of that. And our country right now is completely captured. Every American citizen should be worried about their privacy because we don't have any warrantless surveillance, all this other stuff. People thought, well, they're doing that against Trump, so Trump and those people deserve it. No. They're doing it against everyone, because part of this long game plan, Agenda 2030, it is called now in its current iteration, is that there is no privacy, there is no freedom, there is no, there's full behavior modification, social credit scores. They accomplished it in China, the same people. And, you know, we're dealing with people look at the Third Reich. Well, go look at what the Third Reich really wanted in their own documents and their own stuff. Well, right now is a little scarier. It's kind of like, in the book 1984, the state is described as superior to Nazi Germany and Stalin's and the Bolshevik Revolution because they only want power for power's sake. And they have no, as I believe is going on right now, there's no allegiance or alliance to any state, any flag, any country, any people, any religion, anything. It is power for power's sake amongst a multinational group of oligarch billionaires that just want to shut it off and take full control. And they have the technology and technocracy set up to do it.
So you paint a very dark, I think, accurate picture. How do we fight this? How do we come back? I mean, I always say, if we had only resisted in March of 2020, I mean, probably to go back further than that, but March of 2020, if we had not, the public had not accepted the lockdowns, the stay at home, the church closures, the mask mandates, what if there was mass open resistance and they couldn't achieve it? You know, we're getting that now in Europe with the farmers going against all the EU bureaucrats trying to shut down agriculture. They're trying to shut down nitrogen-based fertilizer, and they're trying to shut down methane, which means meat eating. And the farmers are all, every country in Europe is now rebelled. They're at the gates of the EU spraying manure. So where did, could we have prevented, at least slowed this down, if we had resisted in March of 2020 is the question.
Yeah, I think we could have, but we didn't. I was in Times Square with RFK Jr. and other people yelling that you know, resist, resist. This is not what it seems. I also, you know, I was locked down and I was still in Manhattan at the time. And Cuomo, during 2 weeks to stop the spread, comes on stage with two people who are very involved in the in what I call the Fourth Reich, which would be the global tyranny, the Agenda 21, I mean, Agenda 2030 now, and the development goals to keep their power in check was Eric Schmidt and Bill Gates and Cuomo are on TV during the Stop the Spread telling us they're going to reimagine New York. And that's when I was like, oh, this is nothing to do with with this virus. But you know what? People did what they did. Now there is no excuse at this point. And yeah. I still see it. I still see all these celebrities, obviously owned, bought, paid for. A lot came out about how much people were paid to push this nonsense. The CDC, the World Health Organization thing is coming up. People have to this time be brave. I honestly also believe January 6th was an operation to make sure that we did not rebel against further tyranny and totalitarian movings along. But I am not pessimistic because I believe many, many people are awake to this. And more important, I believe most people are awake to the illusion of choice between left and right, Republican and Democrat, and kind of see DC as an out of control, gluttonous blob that has usurped the power of the people by basically giving up and giving over our entire government to a public-private partnership that sits above them with lobbyists and NGOs that should not exist and certainly should not be funded by us, think tanks, and a multinational multinational corporations and the banking cartel. And that is who is running this country. And if people don't see that, then they just don't want to see it. And there are way more of us than them. They are going after our farmers, which people have to understand. We are being fully tracked and traced and surveilled. And every time somebody, you know, gets their eyes scanned or uses their hand to pay it at Whole Foods or whatever, are they questioning where that data is going and to whom? And is it going to the government? And is it going from the government to multinational billion-dollar corporations and banks that then are creating a social credit score? Because the one thing that gets missed in all of this is that when you look at the World Economic Forum and the UN, at the very top of both organizations are the Chinese Communist Party. They are lauded by both of these organizations and the World Health Organization. And why is that? Because they like how they handle their resources. Just recently at Davos, nobody's talking about the Chinese Communist Party is at Davos being treated like the VIPs. Well, the one thing that they love about China is how they handle their resources, meaning their people. You know, so their people are fully surveilled with social credit scores, total communism, and that is what they want to export around the world. And many more people stand for freedom and liberty and sovereignty of nation states, which Agenda 30's end goal is no nation states, full global governance. That's why they create the global pandemic, the global climate change, the global financial crisis, because their excuse is, well, it's a global crisis, so we need a global government to solve it. And that is exactly the opposite of what we need.
Yeah, exactly. And you're exactly right about things like the Patriot Act, creating the surveillance state. We're still living under the 9/11 emergency power. Merrickly, they lifted the COVID emergency power, I guess, last year, about a year ago now. So the question is, it seems like that would be a big way forward, is how do we get emergency power reform in America? We had governors who could just declare a state of emergency, become dictators overnight, do whatever they wanted without any ounce of democracy. And of course, that's continuing now. They banned gas-powered cars without a vote. They're going after meat eating without a vote. They're imposing all this other stuff through regulation, like they approved the lab-grown meat in America that Bill Gates and Richard Branson fund. But how do we get it so that you can't have a declaration of emergency declared and just go on endless? Again, we're still under the 9/11 Emergency Powers Act. And then, of course, that leads to things like, you know, the TikTok ban. I would assume you were opposed to the vote to ban TikTok, meaning
I call them Twitter celebrities. Because they're just expanding the surveillance state that is global. Yeah. It's global. That is where it stops right there. This all is global. And when you accept the fact that it's global, like obviously the pandemic was global. when you accept that it's global, then you have to wonder, well, who's running it? And when you think about who's running it, that then who's running our country? Well, they are, because that is where what you're talking about. And this is why, and I'd love to work this out. I want to talk to Jimmy Dore about this too, and other people. We have to all really understand that all of us right now, and it doesn't matter left or right, and this goes into voting and everything else. Believe me, all these get out the vote things that they're doing and all of that, a lot of it, especially with Mark Elias and the Voter Protection Project and Democracy Alliance, a lot of this is about that these people really don't think that we deserve to vote. They don't think we deserve a voice. They don't think we deserve, you know, our platforms or any of this. And we have to turn around and say, no, we do, and actually read our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and gather together. Repealing the Patriot Act first, but also they've made it that they can have warrantless surveillance. Like, enough's enough. We have to just stand first and foremost for liberty and privacy. If we start there, we can make a lot of change.
All right, Mel Kay from the MelKayShow.com. We can't look at the Constitution because they sprayed orange paint all over it, but the climate activists. But anyway, thank you for joining the show. This is Unleashed with Mark Morano. We'll see you next time. Thank you.